Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
You're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, 657 AM. This is where you're at. Girl King says, he shall never fail, and our God never fails. So do remember that you are with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, right here on Just For You up until 11 o'clock. And at 11 o'clock, you have Perspective with Germany, Yanni Balso. And after Germany, you have Lukom Kwedi Puti on Heart to Heart with you, Tot Dreer. And so, and afterwards, you have Germany, Johan Els. So, hey, we like, it's fully packed. It's fully packed. So, do stay tuned. Do not touch the dial. I'm now joined by my queen, Pastor Miriam Mashiku. Hi, Ma. How are you?
Hello, my darling. How are you doing?
I am good. It's 2025. Oh my, does it feel like it's a new year though? Does it feel like it's a new year? You were laughing at me because yesterday I was saying to you, I'm only celebrating now. It's my festive season. I never had an opportunity, but does it feel like it is already a new year?
Yeah, no, that's so true. It doesn't feel like a new year because we're still experiencing rain in January. Talk about global warming. So it's like it's just a continuation of December, you know, in Jan. But we really thank God for this new year and his new plans. A new lease on our life. The fact that we are still here, it means we are still blessed, and it means that God has still got, he's got good plans for our lives. Eh? Mm-hmm. That's why we are still here.
Mm-hmm. And that, we shouldn't be discouraged.
But Luna, how did you spend your Christmas? How are you?
It was. You remember when I said it to you yesterday? I was sick.
I'm so sorry. What was happening? You said it was flu, right?
You're such a bad one. When everybody else was starting to talk about COVID, I was like, I didn't have COVID. But it was like, I'm still healing. The chest is still tight, a little bit. My eyes are still puffed up and all. I'm much, much better. I'm really much better. So the fact that the rain still, it's still raining right now, it doesn't make it easier because it's, there's still
so
moisture
true.
In
but
the air.
You become on and off, right?
Yeah. So both Christmas and New Year, one was like, Lord, thank you, but in bed, yeah, taking care of oneself and making
Don't
sure we
worry.
Get
God was, God was giving me a break. He knew that you're going to
Calavant. So it was a break. And I love what we're talking about today.
Yeah, it was God's way of saying, my child, rest. You know, because he actually instructs us to rest, but we don't.
Yeah, no, we never do that. We never do that. Mm. Yo, but we are grateful for the year, and we are trusting him for better things in this year. And some of us are given a second chance at some things that we wanted to achieve with the Lord. It's the second chance to do those. And I hope that family is excited about the whole thing. But now, Ma, today we are talking about this, and I was laughing because I'm actually, at first I was puzzled and then laughed afterwards. I'm like, Kanti Modimo obyang, eh? How he talks to me about this. I'm doing my shopping and the Lord talks to me about this, and you know, I'm asking him, but Lord, what about that? And he says, yeah, I see you, but keep just seeking my face. Seek me and all my righteousness, and all these things shall be added. And then the next thing, the Lord tells you to talk about the benefits of that. Talk to us about this.
It's amazing because when I also inquired about the scripture for this year that will carry me through me and my family, the Lord just gave me Matthew 6:33. He just said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So I started unpacking it, you know, and just digging and researching. Mm. And I just want to unpack it, you know, for you, how he spoke to me about it. And I believe, and I love the fact that God is a strategist for you to even call me and say, let's talk about anything that the Lord will lead you. And I quote 6:33, and it's the exact scripture that he spoke to you about. Mm. It means God is, God has designed it that we must really focus on it, and he wants us all to just seek his kingdom in 2025.
But somebody somebody might ask, before you go, I'm sorry about that. Somebody might ask, what does it mean when we're saying we're seeking God? Because so many of us are believing that we are seeking God where we at, but I wonder if we really are. So what does it mean when he says seek? When it says seek God, seek the kingdom
of God. I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked, because this is how he unpacked it as I was researching and trying to find out. What exactly do you mean, 633, Matthew 633? Mm. It says, which reads, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Mm.
And you must remember, Sibongile, that this verse is part of Jesus' sermon on the mount, where he addresses various aspects of life, including worry and anxiety, and about material needs such as food and clothing, you know. In the preceding verse in Matthew 6, before he even said seek first the kingdom of God, in I want to read Matthew 6,
okay,
25-32,
okay,
and which reads 25. This is why. This is now. You must just picture him at Mount when he's giving these beatitudes from Matthew 5, when he was saying, blessed is the one who mourns, for they will be comforted. Blessed is the one who's pure at heart, for they shall be called children of God. And now he comes to Matthew 6 and he says, and he's teaching these to his disciples and also to the children of God. And then he says in Matthew 6:25-32, he says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, right? Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant.
Mm-hmm.
And don't harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Mm. And aren't you as my child, far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Mm. And why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make any kind of their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly, surely, certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? For these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all that you need. So Jesus encourages his followers not to be anxious about their daily needs, reminding them that God knows what they need and will provide for them if they prioritize their relationship with him. So God is seeking us to prioritize first of above everything else. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, wear, clothes, how you're going to pay. Don't worry about all those things. Mm-hmm. Just prioritize him and your relationship with him. To seek God first and to seek first the kingdom of God means to prioritize God's supremacy, God's control over your life, God leading you and directing your path, God's ways in our lives above all else. This includes living in a manner that reflects God's values and teachings, which include love, justice, and mercy, you know? So he's saying, prioritize me Think about me first.
Yeah.
You know, for the single people,
yeah,
in 1 Corinthians 7, he talks about how to live as a single person.
Yeah.
In Ephesians 5, he talks and he addresses married people, how to live when you are married, that you must submit to one another. A husband, you must love your wife as Christ loved church, but also wives, submit and respect your husband.
Mm.
We're prioritizing him. And,
okay,
and his kingdom and what he has taught us, his rules, his precepts, his commands, his, you know, his principles.
Now,
when we focus on him and
okay,
we prioritize him, all of these things, Bongile, will be given to us.
Okay. But now what happens most of the times, I find that we seek the Lord. We want the Lord. And we want to prioritize the Lord. Or we do prioritize the Lord. Let me greet Rose Chetty. Hi, Rose. Thank you so much for joining us and all family members joining us on Facebook. And so we prioritize God. So you would be praying and asking God for something. Or you're talking to him about a certain matter in your life. And you wait. And then the Lord doesn't do it now. And you're like, yo, and I need it now, now, now. And then you end up calling Pastor Madam, Pastor Madam. Hey, hey, hey. So how do we prioritize him first? In 2025, how do we do that? Because sometimes you're like, if I wait, then what's going to happen of my children or whatever? The situation is dire at this moment.
I love your question because he said we mustn't worry. Yes, we prioritize. We have our own agenda and we have our own timetable, mm-hmm, and we have our own some women, they call it a biblical clock, that at the age of 30, if you don't have a child, then your clock is ticking, blah 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 blah. God is saying I'm not bound to your human limited capabilities.
Mm.
I'm not bound to your timetable. I'm not bound to your calendar. I'm not limited because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways. What you perceive as urgent for God is not urgent. The Bible says one day in the Lord, 1,000 days in the Lord is like one day in his kingdom.
Mm.
So we have our own deadline and timetables and biological clock, and we think that everything should be rushed.
Mm.
We can't command God, because then if we then command God, then he will cease being God, you know? So let me explain it. I love Matthew 25, 14 to 30. It talks about the talents, the king going away. And it says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servant and entrusted his money to them while she was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. I want you to underline that. In proportion to their abilities. So he gave one a 5 bags of silver and 2 bags of silver, and another he gives the last one, he gives back one bag of silver to the last one, dividing in proportion to their abilities, even left on his trip. And I want you to look at that as you and I, because we are citizens in the kingdom of God, and we are the children of God. God, when we were created in our mother's womb, the Bible says he was there. So we are his children. He knew us whilst we were still in our mother's womb, whilst we were still in conception, he knew us. So when you were still in your mother's womb, he gave you the capabilities and abilities and skills and talents. And maybe, for instance, he gave you 5, which is a silver of gold. So this one is an illustration of a man going away. But I want you to see it as God giving you talents. He's giving you talents, 5 talents, and he gives me 2 talents, and he gives my daughter 1 talent. And he goes away, and he says, this is you, go into the world and live for me. And he says, seek first my kingdom. So you, as Bonile, he gives you 5 bags of silver. I want you to see the bag of silver as the 3 P's, what they call the 3 P's in the Bible, which is time, talent, and your treasures. So your time, talent, and your treasures, God gives you 5. He gives another 1, 2. He gives another 1, 1. And then he says, go into the world and do whatever you want. And then God lives. And then the servant who's received 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and 5 more. The servant who, with 2 bags of silver, also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole into the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, then their master returns from his trip and calls them to give an account of how they have used their money. Mm. Now, God wants you to account. He says he's giving us a command this year. He says, Sibongile, I've given you 5 talents. I've given Miriam 2 talents and I've given Bongi 1 talent. And this year, seek first my kingdom. Mm. And how do we seek? We realize that the talents that God has given us, it's talent, it's treasures, and it's time. Our time belongs to God. Our talent belongs to God. And our treasures, everything that we treasure. And we are supposed to now seek first the kingdom. It means now we prioritize everything that God has given us. God has given me time, talent, and treasures. It means if I seek him first and his righteousness, it means everything that I have, my time, talent, and treasure, I must invest back to God. Hmm. Now I invest. Now you've given 2. God has given you 5. Now he's given you a talent of being a radio personality, a motivational speaker. He's given you talent to make products. Eh? He's given you giftings to mix concoction and sell it. Hmm. So you take all those thoughts that God has given you daily. Because remember, he's also given you the Holy Spirit who is Paracletus. So when you don't know what your gifting is, you have the helper who is on your side with you all the time, 24/7. He said when he was ascending to heaven, he said, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm giving you the helper, the counselor, the comforter. So the counselor is somebody who walks with you every day. When you don't know what to do, go and how to navigate life, you go to the counselor. You say, counselor, how do I do this? When you are hurt, you are moaning, you are bleeding, you've lost someone, you go to the comforter. He comforts you. When you are lost and down and out, you don't know what to do, you go to the helper who is supposed to help you. And now you are with him all the time. Now he's given you all of this, but you don't know what your talents are. You then go to the helper and you say, counselor, helper, comforter, just help me. What is my gifting? Yeah. And then God will put it in your heart as if it is your desire. You start desiring to do something about your hands, about mixing concussion for pastor. It is God who's giving you that knowledge and understanding and wisdom to mix concussion so that it will heal our pastor. And then you then realize, oh, this medicine works. This concussion works. You know what? I took different herbs. I mixed them together. Now it works. It is God giving you a gift. Now it is for you when somebody comes to you and say, you know, I've got flu. And then you say, the other day, I actually mixed different herbs. And all these herbs, they were able to cure me. That is the talent that God has given you. When he comes back, like the king is going to come back and say, now account, I've given you 5 gifts. Yeah. What did you do with the 5 gifts? Now you must say, you must account and say, okay, now this is, but you can only know your giftings, your talent, when you stick to him, when you put him first, when everything about you prioritize him. And hence he is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness talks about living right, your conduct, your demeanor as a person, your behavior, your attitude. It's about you now seeking God in all that. You know, God's righteousness means striving to align our lives to his moral standards and character. Living right for God, being obedient, respecting your parents, respecting your elders, giving to the needy, loving your neighbor as loving yourself, loving God. He says his first commandment is seek God and his righteousness, and loving God and all about with all your mind, body, and soul. Doing all those things.
Yeah. All right.
Which is essential for living in harmony with or in his kingdom.
Okay, so one person also might ask, but why would God say this? I mean, I've been saved for 10 years. I mean, I know God. I have a relationship with God. Why would God tell me to seek Him first? I'm Muslim. I seek Him all the time.
It means it's not enough. The fact that He told me to seek Him first, and He's telling you to seek Him first, we should ask ourselves this question. I want to think in my spiritual life, if I have to measure from 0 to 10, 0 being poor, 10 uh-huh. being very good in his kingdom,
yeah.
I might maybe weigh myself and say, maybe I'm a 3. So God is saying, I don't want you to be a 3, Miriam. I want you to
put
me set more now,
yeah.
so that you go from one level to another. Go to 5.
Mm.
It means now, if I used to spend my time an hour in His presence, now God wants 2.
Okay.
And God wants me to reach out. And God wants me to speak in my work environment where I am working. Mm. Maybe I'm not touching enough people. I only serve God at church.
Mm.
But at work and in my community, in my township, in my association, in my circle of friends, most of them don't even know God. They're dying daily, but I'm there. Mm. So God is saying, I want you to talk about me more wherever you go.
Mm.
I don't want you to only serve me on Sunday in church. I don't want you to read the Bible only on Sunday at church when they say, now open your Bible. I don't want you to come back on Sunday and shelve your Bible. I don't want you that every day you just spend your time on socials and not spend time with me.
Mm.
I want you to start now taking me as a priority.
Okay.
I want you to now spend time with me.
Hmm.
When you wake up in the morning, don't spend 10 minutes with me and then go to socials for 8 hours. I want you to now spend time an hour with me, spend 2 hours with me, read the Bible more, worship me more, tell people about me more, go and make disciples and speak to other people. Learn more about me, go to Bible school, search for me, because in me there is life.
Right.
In my presence, there's fullness of joy.
Uh-huh.
In me, there is the peace that you need.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's why He says, and all these things will be added to you. He's referring to the basic necessity of life, the food, the clothing, the shelter. In Matthew 6:31-32, He says, so don't worry about these things. When I worry about me.
Okay.
Worry about our relationship. Worry about spending time with me.
Okay.
All these things kick off at all.
Okay. All right. Let's take
Put
a break.
Me first.
Put me first. Let's take a break, Ma, and then come back to
Amen.
Hear the Lord some more. Murina Ari, put me first.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
There is radio and radio. And then there is 657 AM. Can you hear the difference?
Umkhuleko olungileyo unamandla. Kubeka ukhulekele iRadio Pulpit nomsebenzi esiwenzayo kuNingizimu Afrika nomhlaba wonke.
You're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, 657 AM, 29 minutes, just after 10, and we gave you Vovi Patala, your will is my desire. Vovi is actually saying, Lord, if you say seek me, it's exactly that which I will do. And you and I should be doing that. We should be seeking Him and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto Him. Frank Jacobs, hello to you. Oh, unto us, not Him. Annette van der Merwe, hello to you. Thank you for joining in, and hello to all family members everywhere. Hector Sampson, hello, how are you? Thank you for choosing us as your number one radio station. Now, my queen, and when we're talking righteousness, how do we get righteousness? How do we become, because He says, seek Him first and all His righteousness. How do we do that, and what is His righteousness? The right standing?
Right standing, right living, exactly what you're saying. And seeking God's righteousness involves also a commitment to live according to His will, which include which also includes repentance of sin and sincere effort to embody his character in our actions. Seeking God's righteousness means striving to align our life to his moral standard and character. You know, God's righteousness encompasses his moral perfection and justice. It refers to the standards by which he governed the world and the ethical conduct he expects from us, his children and his followers. What does the Bible say? The Ten Commandments, say for instance, the Ten Commandments, don't do this, don't do this. Those are the right standing, right living. You know, and when he says preserve your body a living sacrifice, that is the right standing, and that is the right attitude that he's expecting from you. Don't copy the behaviors of the world.
Okay.
That's exactly what he's expecting you to do. Don't do as the world is doing. Know who you are. You are the royal priesthood. You are special. You are blessed. You are anointed. You are called. You are preserved. You've been sacrificed. Your life has been purchased on the cross. You know, you are the child of the Most High God. You are equipped and empowered to prosper. That's exactly what he's saying. So align yourself to his will and purpose. I'll make an example. There's a guy who's been pursuing me for some time. He's a nice guy. I love him so much. He from far, from a distance, he's serving God. He's a minister of the word. He loves God. He's single. He's available. He's all of that. He's too good, you know. And then we started going out and having coffee here and there, having lunch here and there, and as we are now getting to know each other and spending time together for some time, at some point he wants us to not be obedient to the word of God. He wants us to do some of the things that are not in the Bible. So when we seek God first, is now you need to prioritize. Do as much as I want this relationship, and as much as I want this guy, do I now choose to live in sin with this guy, or do I still choose God's commandment? But if I choose God's commandment, then it means I'm going to lose this guy, because this guy wants more than what God wants us to do, especially if we are still single. There are things that when we are single, we should not entertain, we should not indulge in. God says, preserve your body a living sacrifice. He wants us to indulge in so many things that I know that it is sin to do that. So now I'm at the predicament. I'm in the crossroads where I need to choose. Do I choose to do these things with this guy, because this guy is saying he's got good plans. He wants to marry me. He wants to send family to my. He wants to send his family to my family. He wants to get to know me. He wants to marry me, and he wants to introduce me to his bishop. But he hasn't done so. But he wants us to indulge in things that I'm told not to do. The Lord has said to me, preserve your body a living sacrifice, because that's where the Holy Spirit lives. And this guy says, let's go an extra mile. Let's do some of the things that I know that I'm not supposed to do. And he also knows. But he says, let's indulge in sexual activities. And I'm saying, but both of us are saved. We're not supposed to do that. The Bible says when we are not married, we should not indulge. My body is my temple, the temple of God. Your body is the temple. He says, but you know, my intention is to marry you. Then at that point, I'm in a predicament where I need to choose. Do I listen to what God is saying in his word, or do I go with this guy? I know he's going to marry me. I know his intentions are good. I know he's got money. He's even showed me his bank account. And balance, he's going to marry me. So do I now indulge in that, or do I wait until he's pronounced the high priest in my life before he could sacrifice in this temple?
Oh, Pastor Miriam? Oh, my.
Of mine, which is my body.
Okay, yes.
So living right and right and doing right. So living right is choosing right and doing right and being intentional about being obedient to God. Coming back to your senses and saying, I want this guy, his intentions are good, he's got money, He's introduced me to a couple of friends. He's now going to introduce, he's going to send a letter to my family. And he wants us to indulge now. But he's not yet declared as the high priest in my life.
Mm.
So do I now surrender this temple to him? Or do I wait until he's declared to be the high priest and the ruler in my life?
Mm.
To be my Boaz, to be my king?
Mm.
Or do I now give it to him? Because I know he's going to do right by me.
Mm.
But now you become intentional and say, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to listen to what God is saying. God is saying I must preserve. God is saying I must not indulge. God is saying I must seek first the kingdom. God is saying my body is a temple. I must wait until the right time.
Mm.
You're talking about time. Okay, no, what about timing? The timing is right. The environment is inconducive. We are in a place where nobody sees us, what we can do.
Mm.
But my conscience is clear that I am a child of God and I want to be obedient to God. I'm not going to indulge. Even though it's the two of us. Even though we are not in Gauteng, we are in KZN.
Yeah.
And nobody knows me and nobody knows my face. We are in a hotel. The question is, when he says, let's go to a hotel for 3 days, what am I thinking?
Mm.
Are we going to fast there? Obviously, we're not going to pray and fast.
Mm.
We can pray and fast here in Joburg. Why do we need to go to KZN in a hotel for 3 days to be with him? And he says, I will know we're going to be in his presence. It's more for me getting to know you.
Mm.
Is it really?
Mm.
Am I that stupid or naive? Mm. What am I thinking? Am I thinking that we're going to get there and fast and pray and go to church every day and not indulge?
Hmm.
I'm being stupid if I'm there like that. So living right and seeking God's righteousness is that knowing what God wants you to do and doing it.
Knowing what knowing God that wants I can actually, you to do.
Yeah. And being intentional.
Mm.
Intentional about God.
I can sense or hear somebody saying, "Eish, Muruti Garli Kwaman, I can hear everything. But when it comes to some of these things, I am not as strong. Muruti, what do you say I should do? Because God says, seek me first and all my righteousness and all these things shall be." And I do love God. I want the Lord and I want to do right. But now what do I do, Muruti?
I love your question because sometimes then I'm going back to the same example with this guy. So now he says, it's either we go to KZN, the two of us, for 3 days, or if you don't want to go with me, I'll find somebody else to do. Now he's what is he doing? He's instilling fear, right?
Yeah.
That if I don't go with him, then I'm going to lose him. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, but God did not give us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. So do I fear losing this guy or do I fear losing God? Do I fear losing this relationship, this encounter, this feeling that I have, this thing that I see it bigger than God? What do I fear? And remember, when fear sneaks in, you must remember that it means it does that in the absence of faith. Then it means my faith diminishes.
Mm.
I lose faith in God. I lose trust in God.
Mm.
I don't believe in God now because fear has sneaked in. I fear that if I don't do this, then I might lose. Then it means my faith has diminished.
Mm.
But then I need to pump up my faith and say, but God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever drink, think, or imagine.
Mm.
More than I could ever think or imagine, dream. You know, God is able to do exceedingly. If I lose this guy, God is able to bring me another guy who will serve him more or would want to be obedient to God's guidance, God's command, and God's precepts. It's okay, go to KZN, and I'm not coming.
Mm.
Take whoever you want to take. And obviously, there are vessels that are available and ready and willing because of fear of losing this person that I see as an ideal man, husband, prospective husband. You see, so your faith needs to balance with God's word. Your faith needs to balance with your walk. And hence the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith.
Mm.
Faith is believing and trusting that God is. And God will take me through this journey. Next week, Dikolo Diabula, I don't have enough school fees, but I trust that God will make a way. God is faith is saying we live in Egypt, and but then we faced the Red Sea, and what do we do when we face the Red Sea? What do we do when Nile is in the Red Sea is in front of us? Do we turn back or do we trust God? When he says, stay, stand, and declare my word, because the Egyptians you see today, you'll not see anymore. Do you declare God's word? Do you trust in God enough that God will open this Red Sea so that you walk through, or do you want to do it your way? Do you prefer to go back to Egypt after God has taken you out of Egypt, after God has taken you out of your sins? Do you now resort to going back, or do you trust that the same God who took me out, the same God who was with Daniel, the same God who was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the same God who was with Jesus, the same God who says, the same God who walked with David is going to walk with me? Do you trust him?
Yeah.
Because his word says, trust in God with all your mind and lean not in your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
In all your ways, acknowledge him. Do you lean, do you surrender to your own limited understanding, Sibongile?
Mm.
Do you now run to Bomashonesa?
You know, and we do. That's why I was asking. That's why I was asking you, Kir. Sometimes you desire the answer now. Lord, then what?
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think also yesterday I was a bit panicky because I'm thinking my daughter has applied for bursaries. Okay, she has not received them. Now what do I do? And I'm now starting to, okay, maybe we need to go and seek student loan. But did God ask me to do it?
Mm-mm.
And why am I panicking?
Mm.
Because according to my human limited time and understanding is that the schools are opening next week,
mm.
and we have not received anything. So what do I do? I start panicking. And is it because I don't trust God? Is it because of the clock is ticking and I'm worrying? But he says, don't worry about anything.
Mm.
Seek first my kingdom. Sit in my presence.
Hmm.
Sit, Miriam.
Hmm.
And if he does not open this door, maybe I need to go to the bank and ask for a loan. But then it means if I go to the bank and ask for a loan, he will lead me to the bank and my loan application will be approved. Then I will have enough money to service that loan.
Hmm.
You know, mm. and when he says all these things will be given to you, this assurance is not a guarantee of wealth and abundance, but rather a promise that God will provide what is necessary for those who prioritize his kingdom and his righteousness.
Sure.
And also there are benefits when we seek him first.
Mm.
The first benefit, the four benefits that I came up with. The first one is the peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
By prioritizing God's kingdom, believers can experience a reduction in anxiety and worry,
mm-hmm.
knowing that God will provide for their needs. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 assures us, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. It says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Go back and reflect and say, you know, there was a time when I needed this and God has done it. There was a time when I was anxious and God has provided. There was a time when I was sick and God has healed. Thank God for what he has already done in your life.
Mm.
Reflect.
Mm.
Look back on what God has already done in your life. I'm turning 55 this year. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. In the 54 years that I've lived, mm-hmm. what has God done in my life? Reflect and say, God has done this. God has, you know what? He's able to do this one.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at what God has done in my life,
mm-hmm.
the one in front of me is nothing.
Mm.
reflect and thank him for all that he has done. At some point, you were told that pastor will not live past 6 years, past 2 years. But look at our pastor now. He's turning 14 or 15.
Oh, he's old now. He's 18 on the 16th.
You see, and you haven't, and Sibongile, all of us have testimonies.
Mm.
Go back to your archives and see what the Lord has done in your life.
Wow.
Dig into your archives.
Mm-hmm.
And when we dig into your archives, you just corrected me now. I thought pastor is 14. He's turning 18.
Born a whole man. He has an ID.
And you were told, Guri, you were told he's not going to live past 2 years.
He has an ID.
Be intentional about God.
Yeah.
When he says, I think what he's saying to you and me, when he says seek first, and he's giving us Matthew 6:33. 6:33 is saying, this year be intentional about seeking me.
Yeah.
About spending time with me.
Yeah.
About worshiping me.
Yeah.
About reflecting. About looking back in the rearview mirror and check what I've done for you, Sibongile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't act like you don't know me. Don't behave like you have not seen me coming through for you.
Mm.
Don't have an amnesia, because Christians, we are good with spiritual amnesia. We easily forget what God has done in our lives.
Mm.
And we don't testify.
Mm.
We don't tell people about God's goodness and what he has done.
Mm.
At some point, we tend to forget what God has done.
Mm.
Number two, the benefit of seeking first his kingdom is aligning with what God has done in our lives.
Okay.
Aligning with God's will. Seeking the kingdom helps individuals align their lives with God's purpose, leading to a more fulfilling and meaningful existence. I mean, Romans 12:2 reminds us not to copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Mm.
Your thoughts, our thoughts need to be transformed.
Mm.
Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
Mm.
You know, and the another benefit of seeking God first is in number three, community and support. Engaging in the kingdom often leads to building relationships with others who share the same values and fostering a supportive community.
Mm.
We get a supportive community, especially in our churches as well. I remember when I needed money for my daughter's school, I got support from the church.
Yeah,
I got somebody came and said, I heard you're looking for bursary. Actually, I know somebody who can actually give you that bursary. And that's how I got bursaries.
Wow.
So if we are in the community of God's people, that's where we meet our brothers and sisters. And hence he say, do not forsake the gathering, because that's where he will speak to somebody to help you. He will speak to most people that have helped you. It's the people, the community of God. It's people within the community of God. The people, God will speak to somebody to touch, it will touch somebody to go and say, go and help Sibongile here and there. Go and help Miriam here and there. And people will come and say, God says I must give you this money for petrol. God says I must, or you will say a need and God will send somebody or touch somebody to come and give you money for the school fees.
Sure.
Because you are in his community.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last
so
one.
Why worry? And the last one is eternal perspective. Focusing on the kingdom encourages believers to look beyond their immediate gratification and circumstances and invest in eternal matters. I mean, Colossians 3:2 says, think about the things of heaven, not the things on earth. The things that are permanent and not things that are temporal. Things that, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, whether I have a boyfriend or not, those are temporary things.
Yeah.
Think about permanent things.
Yeah.
Think about your relationship with God. Think about eternal life. Think about the afterlife. Because Jesus Christ is eternal. Think about the life after this world. If I die today, think about eternal. And that is God and His kingdom and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Think about these things.
May the Lord help us in 2025 not to deviate, but to stay there and always keep ourselves in that space where we are seeking and constantly seeking Him, and allow Him to just take care of us and forget about taking care of ourselves. He does it better. He does it better.
He knows it better.
He knows it better.
He knows what you're going to say even before you say it.
Sure, Muruti, time is not on our side. What do we say in closure?
I know, right?
What do we say in closure?
In summary, Matthew 6:33 calls believers to prioritize the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and assuring them that their needs will be met. Understanding the kingdom of God and God's righteousness is important and crucial for living a life that reflects His character and His values. The promise of provision serves as a reminder of God's faithfulness and care for those who seek Him first. So remember His promises. He has promised to provide for you. He's promised that He has plans for you. He's promised that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised that He knows your tomorrow. His promise is that He's the God who knows, who's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows the end from the beginning. He's with you. He knows your needs. He knows what you're going to say even before you say it. He's your Father. If we can get to a state where we become children and He becomes a Father, I think we can trust Him with our lives. And up in Him providing for us. So for 2025, let us become children. And think like children.
Amen.
So that He becomes
our Father
and provides for all our needs.
Amen. Family, that is Pastor Miriam Mashego. She is Miriam Mashego on Facebook, Pastor Miriam on TikTok. She's also on Instagram. And if you'd like to talk to her, she's available on 082. Do send a WhatsApp, please. Send a WhatsApp, 082-391-1318. 082-391-1318. I am signing out. And next up is Germany, Yanni Belsa. But I'm going to allow Muruti to lead us in prayer. We have only a minute or so. Yeah, I think it's a minute that we can just take it all to the Lord in prayer. And after Muruti's prayer, we leave you with the sounds of Jacqueline Carr reminding you He is bigger. Muruti, what do we say in prayer?
Thank you, Father, that this year you're calling us to not be anxious or worry about anything. Instead, we must pray about everything. We must tell you what we need and thank you for all that you have done. You're asking us to seek you first and your kingdom, and all these things will be added unto us. Thank you, Father, for promising us your provision. Thank you, Lord, for promising us your presence. Thank you, Father, for promising us deliverance. Thank you, Father, for promising us breakthrough. Thank you for your promises. Thank you, Father, that your promises are yes and amen. Help us, Father, with our unbelief. Help us, Father, with our trust in you. Help us, Father, and increase our faith in you so that we seek you first and your kingdom and your righteousness. And we will know deep down and be convicted that all these things will be added unto our lives. Thank you, Father, for reminding us that you are able to feed and take care of the birds and take care of the lilies, then you can take care of us. We trust you, Father, and we love you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. And help us this year to be intentional about our relationship with you. Thank you, Father, for this reminder. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
And amen. Happy New Year. All of the best. All of God's best.
Happy New Year to you. I love you. Love.
We love you, Ma. Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye-bye.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082 657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.